Thank you, Richard, and good afternoon, everyone. Nisambula Vinaka. Thank you very much for the invitation. I will talk about about the Pacific. I thought I was supposed to present on programs around the Pacific, the challenges, and so on. So, as we all know, and I've been hearing over the last 2 days about violence in the Pacific, every now and then. That rates of violence against women in the Pacific is amongst the highest in the world. Not that other places are not high, they're also high. The research on intimate partner violence has been conducted around the Pacific following the WHO model, and Kiribati shows 68%, Fiji 64%, Solomon Islands 64%, Vanuatu 62%, Samoa and Tonga, they didn't quite use that methodology. They're showing about 48-50%, but I'm sure if we use the methodology, it'll be a lot higher. Research is underway in Marshalls and also Papua New Guinea. It's a bit stalled at the moment, but I'm sure. But there was one done in Papua New Guinea in the 80s, which is a very comprehensive study on violence in Papua New Guinea and also showed higher trends. Very high trends. So I'll talk about the programs that we offer. First of all, before I go into the challenges, I'll take a few minutes to talk about that so those of you who don't know about us would know what we are doing. All our programs, we are a feminist organization. I know a lot of people don't like the word feminist, but you know, that's when you mainstream it, it's women's human rights. So nowadays, you know, that's what you call it, the more diplomatic way of saying feminist, but we're very proud to be a feminist organization. The core business, of course, is counseling, advocacy, individually as well as advocacy otherwise. Individual advocacy because the whole thing is very women-centered. All our strategies, programs are built on women's experiences of violence, women's experiences of responding to that violence, women's experiences of accessing services. So the counseling, of course, is non-judgmental, rights-based, feminist counseling. We have a huge community education program going in Fiji and other places in the Pacific. We have been around, last month we've been around for 31 years. Our motto is working ourselves out of business. But, you know, the more of this work you do, the more, things you open up, Pandora's boxes you open up. So that continues community education, training of other agencies. Community education is demand-driven as well as targeted, though. People are telling us now that we should be more targeting rather than demand-driven, but for us, demand-driven is better because that means communities are more open to having us in, you know, and you have to, doing this kind of work, gender sensitizing, talking about women's human rights and so on, you need communities to be ready to receive you. A training of other agencies, that means police, social welfare, whoever wants training, awareness raising so they can respond better to women and incorporate gender into their policies and so on, we're ready to do that. Advocacy and lobbying with government, traditional leaders, faith-based organizations, sporting institutions, youth schools and so on. We have a research and publication center also. We produce manuals of this nature, and this is from the Pacific Women's Network Against Violence Against Women. We think globally and act locally, so we borrow from everywhere and then adapt it to our needs. This is the national survey we did. Very good feminist analysis in here, and very good data. And this is male advocacy for women's human rights. I'll talk about that later on, and many other publications that we have. A program that we have is on male advocacy for women's human rights and men's accountability to the women's movement when they work with us on promoting and protecting women's human rights and in ending violence against women. The Pacific Women's Network Against Violence Against Women was set up in 1992, and it's a loose network of women's organizations, not loose women, loose network of women's organizations that are working in this area. In 1992, when we started, there were only two, in Fiji and one in the Cook Islands. And, of course, Papua New Guinea, the nuns and so on were working around violence against women. And now we work in 13 countries, and there are over 40 organizations throughout the Pacific that we know of who are working in this area of eliminating violence against women girls and, of course, children. We have a regional, the Pacific, the network part of that is the regional training program, which is now going to develop into FLARE, which means F-L-A-R-E, which is Feminist Learning for Advocacy, Research, and Empowerment. And it's we already offer the regional training program 4 weeks duration, twice a year. It's a user pay system. People from around the Pacific find sponsors and come to that. And that will now will tailor it more for the needs of, let's say, police, health workers, and so on. And the 4 weeks program will be for women who run organizations like this, so we can do more feminist kind of work in there. And in the future, we have the refuges and shelters for women, two for women and one for young women who are survivors of sexual violence, and an exit strategy for them so they can move on, and because they're very vulnerable at that time, and so that they can move on, get an education and move on in lives and not be open to further exploitation. In Vanuatu, we also have got innovative programs, the Vanuatu Women's Center, the Committees Against Violence Against Women. On every island, you have them, men and women together, promoting nonviolence. Tonga, Women and Children's Crisis Center, with their one-stop shop, which is quite unique. It has the nurse, the police, and the lawyer in the one place. We also, Vanuatu, Tonga, and the Fiji Women's Crisis Center, we have lawyers in place. While the other two have one each, we have to have three at ours, you know, because of the rate at which we churn out decrees in Fiji, we have to keep up with them. So we have three in the legal services. The PNG, of course, has the Family Sexual Violence Action Committee, the CUP Women for Peace, the Voice for Change, many, many women, very, very resilient women against all odds, working very, very hard there. And, of course, Cook Islands, Samoa, they have got other organizations. Work is beginning up north in Ponape, in Marshalls. They've had their women's groups, but more focused on eliminating violence against women and more rights-based. Of course, we've got partnerships and networks, regional, international, and national. We also get involved in human rights work, pro-democracy work. We have been very active during the last 8 years, during the military regime. We also support West Papua. And anywhere else in the Pacific, we have a Pacific Women's Alert System, and wherever there is trouble and our help is needed, then we will try and support by advocacy and lobbying and so on. I'll just look at some of the milestones. A lot of things that you see about violence against women, things that have been achieved, has been because of the work that has been done over the last 31 years throughout the Pacific. A legislation, you can see lots of changes, new laws, DV-specific, domestic violence-specific legislation, many changes in the rape laws, the definition of rape and so on around the Pacific, starting from Fiji, of course, the Family Law Act in Fiji, Vanuatu, and so on. Police training nationally and regionally, because, you know, police behave very badly throughout the Pacific, and that's an ongoing problem. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Greater reporting by survivors. We really haven't done comparative studies. I'm not a researcher, I'm not an academic, but comparative studies need to be done before we can say there's an increase in violence. You know, we can say there is definitely an increase in reporting by survivors, which is very, very positive. We've put violence against women on everyone's agenda, government, NGOs, faith-based organizations. Just recently, big milestone for us was the Methodist Church in Fiji had a one-week conference on domestic violence and invited us to speak there. So, you know, that was a big one. National surveys, which are being, quoted by governments and by development agencies and everyone. Ours, actually, we did not do it with any of the development agencies. We did it with our Bureau of Statistics, following the WHO model, and got training on that and did ours that way. And so did the Vanuatu Women's Center. More people are talking the rights language. Just recently, our Prime Minister, the former military commander, gave a big speech on domestic violence. Our esteemed Attorney General talked about development and violence against women. Our more esteemed Speaker of the House talked about gender inequalities and how that gives rise to violence against women. So people are talking the language, and, you know, recently the Solomon Islands Prime Minister. So leaders are talking the language, which is good. We just have to see that put into action. The Pacific Islands Forum Secretariat has got the Sexual and Gender-Based Violence Reference Group. It is there. It's a big achievement, but what it actually does is another question. I am part of it, so I shouldn't complain. Women are recognizing their rights, the rights violations, and so on. Our survey showed that 52% of women this time round said in the survey that no one had the right to violate them. So those are some good things that are happening. And of course, one of the things I think that the Fiji, I see some former DFAT people sitting here and the present ones, that one of the things is the multi-year funding for violence, eliminating violence against women. I think we set the trend, we lobbied very hard for that, and that's also part of our job is to lobby and facilitate funding. The challenges, plenty, and this is, I think, the focus of my talk, so I'll talk about that. Is, of course, the main challenge is a very patriarchal society, which is everywhere else, entrenched. A patriarchy is entrenched in our society, in institutions, in families, in traditional settings, in the religious institutions, and everywhere else, and that is quite a big barrier. And, of course, the misuse, I call it the misuse or abuse of religion and culture, and so on, so that is a big... Though slowly we are chipping away at it, but it still remains a huge problem. No rights-based framework. People are more into the welfare model, you know, the Band-Aid and Panadol model, and you don't look at the causes, you do not do analysis and so on, and the strategies are not based on that kind of analysis, on a feminist analysis or rights-based analysis. And also, you know, the militarization... Rapid militarization, definitely in Fiji, we've had 3 coups and, you know, the political instabilities and things like that, which actually, you know, we lose ground gained, you know, and we have to gain all that ground that we lose every time you have political unrest, every time you have military coups. And then, of course, at this point in time, you know, we've had a very militarized country and this does not help the cause at all. We have cadet training in secondary schools now, so we are breeding a cadre of men who will, you know, a young man who will be just obeying orders and it's for discipline. Very disciplined people who will be disciplining other people. So it's not very good for us. Accessibility, I think throughout the Pacific we have a lot of problems. In terms of accessibility, we have many islands, transportation, accessibility to police services, health, education, employment, and so on. Our national survey very clearly shows that higher prevalence are in areas of where there is a lot of inaccessibility, particularly the maritime areas and the interior of the main islands. Lack of gender sensitization of service providers, police in particular, and they're getting worse by the day despite many, many programs which are there. And when we have like political instability, militarization, our police force is quite militarized at the moment, as is the correction services and so on. Women actually, even though you can have the best of laws, accessing justice becomes quite difficult. The judiciary, definitely a problem. Health workers, hospitals and so on, doctors, nurses, the media, and etc. We also, you know, the lack of political will, governments not including violence against women in annual budgets, good speeches, as I said, but really no real commitment, no integration of gender into government policies, etc., which we are trying to advocate for. Difficulties accessing justice, lack of enforcement of violence against women legislation policies, frequent changes in judiciary, and inconsistent application of laws. This definitely for Fiji, where you know we have a lot of foreign magistrates and judges coming in. The local ones are okay because you know they grew up with us over 30 years, so. You know, they're quite okay, but others who come from more traditional setups, we're having a lot of problems there. So they're going back to the the old system. Another problem is, though we have good legislation, it's gender neutral, so it's often abused by men and by police. So even though where laws have equal application, women's access to law is difficult and restricted due to institutionalized discrimination and patriarchal systems. And of course, we have the one-talk systems, whether it's the police, wherever you are, where you know each other, you're related to each other, so you don't do anything about it. The brotherhood is very much alive. I just wanted to talk about another area where I see around the Pacific through the networks and so on, where there, I think there's a very overcrowded donor field, even though there is that, there still is a lack of co-funding for EVO programs, very good, the smaller ones, not for us, but for a lot of smaller ones, very good organizations that are coming up, they're doing excellent work, but yet they're lacking the co-funding and lacking the funding multi-year funding, which is essential, I believe, in the work on EVO. I'll have to talk about the donors. I know DFAT is here. They have been very good to us for many, many years. But, you know, the donor demands are changing. That whole environment is changing. I think what is needed, and I'm not only talking about DFAT, but others also, a more supplicant kind of receiving is required. Nowadays, you know, the M&E frameworks and so on that keep changing according to which guru is in fashion at that point in time. You know, I think if you know about what I'm talking about, so, you know, it takes away from the time spent, you know, the report writing and all those things. When we talk about partnerships, I always wonder whether it really is a partnership, you know, and we have to explore that a lot more, what these partnerships mean. Increased international NGOs competing for status and taking away funds and ownership from local NGOs, not building on what has gone on before. This is my pet at the moment, you know, that because I'm looking throughout the Pacific and how it actually doesn't fill the gaps, it does not complement the work, it actually impedes the work that is already being done. So not building on what is already there. And, you know, the men's and boys' programs, everyone's coming into the Pacific. And while we have set up a trend, we are the best, you know, we're best practice, as DFAT will tell you, for the Pacific, I think we are. But it's not that we stop learning. We're always learning and we're, you know, able to, adopt and adapt new things, you know, new developments in this field and so on. And, you know, one of the things that I think Sir Mohammed said yesterday about let us determine how we want to do things, you know, what suits us best and so on. Don't tell us that Africa does it better or South America does it better or somewhere else does it better and try and impose that upon us. And I think that is one of the things, the challenges that we are at the moment facing. We've got policing programs in the Pacific. And people come and consult with us, and so it's a ticking the box, consulted with the crisis center, but they don't listen when we are talking, and then they go and do very much what they have come out to do. So, you know, so that again, another challenge for us, you know, the policing programs, we look at the policing programs around violence against women to fill the gaps. We can train our police officers, we have got the expertise, you know. But what we want is, you know, how to investigate, how to carry on at the police station, you know, how they respond better to women, to crimes of violence against women and girls and so on. Those are the things that need to be looked at. And not bring your rugby champions to be role models for the, you know, for Fiji and things like that. Yeah. So those are some of the challenges that I needed to talk about. I think my time is up. And another one, while I've been sitting through some of the panels yesterday and today, and with all due respect, I think it's a wonderful conference, but I just saw the gender dimension was missing in many. We talked about sorcery yesterday. I went on the economics panel yesterday. There was two lines on domestic violence, you know, and that will soon fall off. I'm sure. And then I went on the custom courts one. You know, I sat in there too, and I found that had fallen. There was nothing about gender there and how women are impacted. A bit of discussion was around that, but I know from the network there is a lot of problems. Though a lot of things have improved, but there still remains those problems. And of course, I was sitting at the Cyclone Pam one today, and then again, I did not hear about the vulnerability. I heard gender, but I did not hear about sexual harassment, domestic violence, which I know from the Vanuatu Women's Center that they have recorded those things that happened during Cyclone Pam and so on. So, you know, so before I finish, I'd just like to say researchers and so on, when you come into the Pacific, then, you know, that you do look at what is happening to women with the gender spectacles and so on. So thank you very much for listening. Mm-hmm.